I appreciate everybody praying for my wife, and she got to come with me today. And this is about the last week was in revival, and she got to go with me. And I was in Ohio last week, the week before that, and she got to go with me. And she's got a lot better. I appreciate her being able to come with me. And I appreciate everybody praying for my wife. You'll never know. I was telling Brother Samuel years ago, and I get turned around every time I come down here, but the old auditorium is back there. And Brother Jay, you remember Miss Betty when we had that, Brother Gene? Do you remember, Brother Earl, do you remember when we had that revival meeting? We went 17 days. I'll never forget that. I preached three times a day. Some things I'm not real sure of. Honestly, on the radio, and then on the chapel, and then of a night. But what a meeting. Okay, got your Bibles, hold them up. Turn me down, son. Got your Bibles, hold them up real high. Hold them up there. Right kind? It'll count. Now open your Bible and turn with me, please, after this. What do you think about that? 1 Chronicles, please, if you would, in your Bible, in chapter 15. Chapter 15, if you would, in your Bible, chapter 15, the book of 1 Chronicles, and verses 1. Ready? Where is my friend that Sharon? You reckon I could holler at her from over here? Open that door for me, but no, I'm just picking. 1 Chronicles, please, chapter 15. Boy, I'm way too loud. Verse 1, and David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched it for a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levite, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God, and to minister unto him forever. Now watch this. And David, he gathered all of Israel together in Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites, verse 5, and of the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief and his brethren, 120. Then he goes on to enumerate them, drop down to verse 14. So the priests and the Levites, they sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders, with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. Now, drop down to verse 25. If you go to your Bible in chapter 13 of the book of 1 Chronicles, they have messed up big time. They have put the ark of God upon a new cart. Now, you can't find, I'm going to try to condense it. You cannot find where they got the idea, these four Kohath, to put this ark on this new cart. Probably from the Philistines. But somebody had to suggest it. Now I want to show you this. Look in verse 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over the thousands, they went up to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. When Brother Benny was preaching, it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. Now, I'll come back to that just in a moment. Go to Exodus, please, in chapter 25, and let me show you this just briefly. In Exodus 25, verse 10, the Bible says, and they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, 1.5 cubits the height thereof. Now, in Exodus 25, God is giving them the blueprint for a 3-foot by 2-foot box. It's called the Ark of the Covenant. 3-foot by 2-foot. Now, here's what you need to get pictured in your mind. That Ark of the Covenant, God gave them a divine blueprint to build that thing. It always represented the presence of God. And let me show you this. I'm in Exodus chapter 25, and notice what this says, if you would, in your Bible. We're in chapter Exodus 25. I want you to watch this. Look in verse 20. The cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, verse 20, and covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Now you got to get a picture of this. A 2-foot by 3-foot box, if you would, and it's gold, I mean inside and outside, of hand-beaten gold. Now on top of this ark is a lid. And if you would, the only way I can explain it to you, it was like we call crown molding around the whole lid of it. And in that lid, there was two cherubims looking toward each other with their wings. And look at, That's where they come and put the blood upon the mercy seat. Now, stay with me in Exodus 25 and notice what the Bible says in verses 20. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. There I'll meet with thee. Now notice now that God told these Kohath, that's where I'm going to meet with you at, these Levites. I want you to watch this. And I'll commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims. Now if I understand that correctly, that if the where the cherubims was facing each other, you see, they were to never, ever, ever move until the cloud moved. Now, as the pillar of fire came up and it moved, then the Kohath was to carry this Ark of the Covenant. Now, watch this. Go over to Numbers, please. In Numbers, I believe it's chapter 4. Now, get over there right hurriedly, please, in Numbers chapter 4. Boy, if I can put this together. In Numbers chapter 4, I asked my sorry preacher, he remembers this. I said, Noah, what have you got on the Ark of the Covenant? What do you got on the book of Exodus? I never did get it. That's what we get after this. But I've got every book I ever got in my library, everything I could read. You can't find where, if you take the measurements of the 3-foot by 2-foot ark, inside was gold, outside was gold, and it was all hand-beaten gold. The cherubims of one piece of gold. Everybody got that? Have you got this where it had 4 rings on each side, and they had a stave that went through there that was solid gold on both sides? Now watch this. In Numbers chapter 4, verse 15, and when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward after that, the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing. Say it back to me. What? Tell me again. Lest they die. Now remember this. Remember this. They're the sons of Kohath. They're Levites. Now they know deep in their mind they're not to touch that Ark of the Covenant. Say amen. On one occasion, they looked in it and thousands died. Now, let's go hurriedly. Go back to 1 Chronicles, please, chapter 15. Hey, Brother Benny, let me ask you a question. Anybody here ever, Brother Donnie, didn't you go to Israel? Have you been to Israel? Brother Bob, you been to Israel? Have you ever been to Egypt? Have you been to Egypt? You couldn't stack this building full up $100 bills and get me to go back to Egypt. That's how much I don't care about going back to no Egypt. I'm telling you, it's the most filthiest, vilest place I've ever been in my life was Cairo, Egypt. I'll show you that what I want you to see is this. I had never seen nothing out of hand-beaten gold till I went to Egypt. We was bombarded by kids by giving them chewing gum and crackers or whatever we had in our. And the guide told us, said, raise the windows right quick, said, and we'll get gone. I mean, literally, we was mobbed by giving it. They were so hungry, these little old kids. You got to know me. Well, the next day, we went to Cairo, Egypt, and we went inside of a museum that I've never seen nothing like that in my life. I mean, hand-beaten chariot made out of pure gold. Everywhere I looked was gold. I mean, never had I seen nothing like that in my life. Chairs, I mean, overlaid with gold. All right, I asked that curator, I said, why in the name of heaven don't y'all melt some of that gold and feed these kids? Well, that didn't go over real big. But what I'm saying is I'd never seen nothing out of hand-beaten gold till I went to Egypt. Now, Israel had been in Egyptian bondage 430 years. They were slaves to the Egyptians. Probably the Israelites was the ones that handcrafted this. I believe that. But you see, they were masters at goldsmiths. Now, remember the staves and remember the rings and remember they was to do what? They was to carry it on their shoulders. If you look in your Bible, they was not to touch it. Let me read it to you now. Watch. 1 Chronicles 13, the Bible plainly says, if you look in verse 9, and when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Brother Benny, the word Uzzah means self-orientated. That name, U-Z-Z, Uzzah. why did Uzzah reach out? And the Bible says that the oxen stumbled. Well, why did God kill Uzzah? Why did God kill him? Because he told him not to touch it. All right, now where was the Ark of the Covenant at? It was on a new cart. Am I right? All right, Uzzah, now watch this. It seemed when that oxen stumbled and Uzzah just reached out to put his hand up there and touched it, God killed him graveyard dead. All right, number one, it should have been on their shoulders. It shouldn't have been on new cart. And I'm going to stay off of that for a moment. All right, David's, his motive is right, but his methods is wrong. I don't want to get on the new cart. We've got way too much stuff on new carts. Amen. But now drop on down. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. He smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died. And David was displeased. David was angry at God because God killed Uzzah. Can you imagine that? Now, drop down to verse 13. So David brought not the ark home to himself in the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in the house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that. How would you like to have the presence of God 3 months? Amen. I mean, it stayed there 3 months. Now, David's motive is right. He says, let's go down and bring the ark up. That's in chapter 15. All right, chapter 13, they've messed up. Hey, Brother Donnie Houghton, you want to stand up and tell me you've never messed up? I'm glad to see you're honest. If we'd all be honest, we've all messed up. Chapter 13, they are rebels against God. God had killed Uzzah, right? Now, David is angry. And they take the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, down into where? Obed-Edom. And it stayed there 3 months. Now David's getting his head right. Chapter 15, he says, we're going to go get the Ark. We're going to put it back on the Kohaths. They're going to put it on their shoulders. And look in your Bible. Now God wants you to see this, please. Drop down to verse 25. So David said to the elders, and the Bible says, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Now, drop down verse 26. It came to pass when God helped the Levites. I do not believe, George Sears, that there's a literal hand. I don't believe that God just literally, but I do believe behind all of this was the unseen hand of God. I believe this was God helping the Levites, amen. In chapter 13, they messed up, and in chapter 15, if you look at it, do you reckon they buried Uzzah? Boy, I've got this vivid imagination. David feared the Lord. That's after they killed Uzzah graveyard dead. But I mean, I wonder, did they have him a funeral? I wonder, did they have a Jewish funeral? It don't say. But it says it displeased David. So David takes the ark, don't even take it to Jerusalem, takes it down to Obed-Edom. Now in chapter 15, all of a sudden, he says, I'm going to go get the ark of God, and the Kohath is going to carry it on their shoulders like they're supposed to have been carrying it. Amen. I believe this ark was heavy, ma'am. I know y'all going to get all over me. I've researched and hunted and researched everything I can find. And some say it weighs 381 pounds. It's amazing how commentaries don't tell you nothing. One said it was 381 pounds. One said it was probably more than 400 pounds. Let's just get off of the poundage. All right, it was gold inside, gold out, and then it had a gold cherubims. Amen. Will y'all agree with me? It had to get heavy. Bob Ferguson, you've been to Israel. Hey, I've been out there. I know what that wilderness is. Man, it's hot. I'm talking about it's hot. Are y'all listening? Don't y'all believe sometime another them Kohath said, man, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm quitting this. I'm giving up on this. Hey, Brother Bradley. But thank God, just about the time they wanted to give up, just about the time they wanted to quit, that unseen hand. It says, God help the Levites, amen. Woo! We're sharing that. We'll run with her. Don't y'all think It says God helped the Levites. They done messed up in chapter 13. But God says in chapter 15, all right, guess what? They got the ark where it's supposed to be. Now it's on their shoulders. They're carrying the ark. It's heavy out. I mean, it's hot, heavy. It's got it. I've never seen so many people with burdens in my life. Honestly. And sometimes the burdens of life get so heavy, we want to throw the towel in. Hey, but thank God behind the scene, there's an unseen hand that comes and helps us keep on keeping on. Let me want you to write this down. If you ain't been around Tom, you will get this. I want you to look in your Bible, the Kohathites. I thought about this burden of them on their shoulders. Hey, Brother Broughton, can you carry 100 pounds? I'm not looking. How about from here to end of this road? How about you, son? Do you think you could do that? Yeah, I know you could. I can carry 100 pounds. I can carry 100 pounds, but I don't think I carry it very far. Don't you think they wanted to quit? Don't y'all think, man, this thing's heavy? Hey, I believe this all my heart. I never seen so many burdens in my life that people are carrying. I had a preacher friend of mine call me. I mean, over in Tennessee. I've known that girl since she's just a little girl. I mean, just a little tiny girl. I've known her. I've seen her grow up and get married. I've seen her when her husband left her and left her with one child. I've seen her when she, after all them years, she finally remarried. And this sorry no-count man, you want me to say that again? Sorry no-count man, come in and said, this is over. I'm not going any farther with this. I can't go any farther. I'm leaving. Don't you tell me that wouldn't be a heavy burden to carry. Just walk off and leave. I never seen nothing like it in my life. There's divorce. There's drunkenness. I've never seen nothing like it in my life. Where we're from, we had a preacher's wife that got killed by a supposedly homeless man. I ain't going to tell you all the vile things he done to her. How's there when they? I'm talking about a burden. I've known her for 40 years of my life. In fact, she was at our church the Wednesday before she got killed. But don't you listen to this. These are burdens that people are carrying, and the burdens are heavy. And by the way, it's hard to deal with people in this day and time. The burdens are heavy, amen. I mean, I've thought about when my wife and I've thought about this when about a year and a few months back, when that doctor told us my wife had cancer. She's in the hospital. And I thought, Lord, I try to live for you. I try to live right. Why me? Y'all ever done that? When my boy got killed, why me? Lord, why my boy was taken? And I guess sometimes we all question, this load is heavy. I don't know if I can go any farther with this load, but thank God, hey, there's an unseen hand that comes and helps us and undergirds us and strengthens us to go a little farther. After this, Brother Donnie, woo! Me have one of them spells I have. I wish I had Sharon. You know, I'd run with it. Let me go back just for a moment. Go back to 1 Chronicles in chapter 4, please. Go back to 1 Chronicles, I believe it's in chapter 4. I want you to watch this. This is going to get a hold of you. What did I say? Chapter 7. I'm sorry. You've got to see this. You've got to see this with me. Where in the world, all right, where am I at? Trying to find my place. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Please read in your Bible and watch this, please. I want you, folks, I got to get my head right. It's Numbers, please, chapter 7. I got to get it right. I'm getting ahead of this. I thought about, have y'all ever seen anybody that's got dementia? How many? And I think when I question sometimes, why do certain people get dementia? Why heart attacks? Why strokes? Why husbands walk off and leave wives? And why does wives leave husbands? Why is churches splitting? Why is it a time when everybody is just turning against each other? Where people used to be friends and now they're just can't get in the same room together. These are burdens that people care. If you care about people, there's burdens. There's Gene Dames. I believe with all my heart, Gene cares about people. I tell everybody, I said, Gene cares about people. So there's burdens that we have to carry. Now I want you to watch. Look in Numbers chapter 7 and please watch this. I read this and I thought, my soul. Look in verse 5, Numbers chapter 7, verse 5. Take of them, God says, that they may be of service to the tabernacle of the congregation, thou shalt give unto the Levites to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites. All right, who was made up of the Levites? Kohath, right? They're standing there. Now watch this. Look on down in your Bible. Watch it. Moses took the wagons and gave them unto the Levites. And two wagons and four oxen gave he unto the sons of Gershon according to their service. Four wagons and eight he gave unto the sons of Merari according to their service under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath, he gave none. Don't y'all think they probably thought, well, why don't I get a wagon? Don't y'all think that, Jay? Perk up, Earl. Brother Lawrence, look at what it says. He didn't give them no wagons. Why? I told a preacher friend of mine, we were standing, and I don't mean this in a hurtful manner. It's not my nature to be like that. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 44, I've heard this all of my life. I don't agree with it. I thought about it, questioned it. Brother Benny, I'm going to ask you a question. Look at me. Look my dead in my eye. Have you ever questioned the Lord?
Yes.
How many of you in this building have ever questioned the Lord why? Only to be told you shouldn't do that. Well, Matthew 27, verse 44, Jesus hanging on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus, amen. He said, why? Sometimes when Nathan got killed, I don't mind telling you, I question why. When my wife got cancer, I don't mind questioning. I ask why. When I had two open heart surgeries, I don't mind telling you, I didn't ask why. Okay, you'll get that in a minute. Jesus asked why. Now go back, look in your Bible. And the sons of Kohath gave none because the service of the saints were belonging to them. They should bear it up on their shoulder. No, Broughton, look at me for a moment. All right, here they are. These others have got wagons. Boy, look here. They're gung-hoing down the road, right? Here is the sons of Kohath carrying the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. Don't you think they probably said, I don't know why I didn't have to get a wagon. Well, I believe that, Betty. I believe they said, I didn't get no wagon. If I have any sense at all, those that are first is going to be last, and those that's last are going to be first. One day the Lord's going to say, switch places. Sometimes in our life, I don't know why God bypasses some people. I just know there's an unseen hand, thank God, that looks after us and takes care of us. Woo! We used to have Sharon, we'd run. Want you to watch this. Now put this down. Notice these burdens. And some of you have got burdens. I know that. If you care about people and you get involved with people, you're going to have burdens, amen. I mean, the burdens of kids walking off and leaving their parents. Not even speaking. I've had funerals where they can't even get in the same room together. Families that don't speak to each other. Carrying burdens. I know people that lost their job. $40,000 $50,000 a year lost their job. What you say, Brother Sisson, there's burdens that we all have to carry. Now, I want you to say something. This chosen band, that's in chapter 7 in verse 4. Now, why, Brother Sisson, why did they, the Kohath was to carry it on their shoulder, amen? They didn't get a wagon, Gene. I hear people, Brother Bradley, watch this. Well, I don't know why right now. I don't know why this and why that and why this. How many years, Brother Jay? 45? Don't tell me this. Now listen. When y'all come out of that cabinet shop 40-some years ago, there had to be an unseen hand behind all of that. You just didn't see it back then. From there to here. Think of all the times God's helped you. Think of all the times that God's helped you. Woo! Boy, I tell you, when that doctor, he's a good saved man, loves the Lord, told my wife, he looked at her and he said, Miss Sisson, he said, she did all them mammograms. And he said, I'm about 95% sure we can get it all if we do surgically. So we were sort of optimistic about that. So he did surgery. Remember, 95% sure he's going to get all of it. Called us back in, set us down. He's on that little old wagon run, you know, they roll around on. He rolled that thing up in front of us and he looked me dead in the eye. And I'm thinking, this ain't going to be good. And here's what he said. He said, I'm sorry, Miss Sisson, but he said, you've got cancer in your lymph nodes. Did y'all ever have a dark cloud hang over your head? Wait till somebody tells you that you love, you got cancer. Wait till you love somebody with all of your heart, and boy, they turn on you like a raving wolf. Don't tell me, boy, look in your Bible, the Kohaths, they were a chosen bunch. They were to carry the ark on their shoulders, amen, which represented the presence of God. Don't tell me they didn't get tired physically just like most of us do. Now, we got to show you this. Go back to Numbers. I'm going to go back to the book of 1 Chronicles. Go back to chapter 15. All right, this heavy burden, I don't know what it weighed. If you can find out, tell me. But it had to be heavy to be gold inside, outside. I mean, hey, the cherubims, the staves, the rings, that had to be a heavy thing to carry, amen. But guess what? The Kohaths, He didn't spare them of that. I want you to watch this. Look in your Bible, chapter 13. Chapter 15, they've messed up. I've never seen this. I just got to reading it. David and the elders of Israel and the captains over the thousand, the captain of the Lord of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. What does it say? Say it again. Y'all missed it. With what? Joy. They just had a funeral. But the Ark of the Covenant had been down in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. Now then, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, David's trying to get the thing right again. Guess what? Now that it says, and God helped them, the Levites, right? But it says with joy. But that's not what I want you to see. Now watch this, watch. Look on in your Bible and watch what it came to pass when God helped the Levite that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. Now watch it. And all the Levites that bear the ark. Are y'all getting the picture? Y'all getting the picture? Now watch this. Now watch what happens. And the Bible says, and the singers, and Chenaniah, the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Look in verse 28. Thus all of Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting. In the average church, I'm telling you the truth. If somebody was to shout, he'd kill everybody. I mean, genuinely have a spell. I mean, genuinely just have a spell. You're talking about worship and you get alone with the Lord and you've been alone with God and God just blesses your soul. Now watch this. Now watch this. It used to be it was a common thing in churches. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Wave their handkerchief. You don't see much of that anymore. Now watch this. Now watch. They brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. Hey, I thought about carrying this heavy burden. I thought about this chosen band by the name of the Kohaths. But then I thought about, hey, he clears all of the blame. If you look in your Bible, it's not brought up. Chapter 13 is not even brought up about them touching the ark. Whoopee! Evidently, y'all ain't never messed up. Boy, I am sure glad if we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all sin. I know when I said messed up, I know y'all's minds going back yonder somewhere. I didn't say that. In some sense, we've all messed up. In some sense of the word, we've all messed up. Chapter 13, they've messed up. Who put that idea in their head to put that cart, to put the ark on the new on that new cart? Let me show you something just for a moment. How did they put the ark on the new cart? Explain it to me, boys. They wasn't to touch it. How did they get the ark of the covenant on a new cart? They had to carry it. They had to put it on the shoulders on the staves. They put it on their shoulders, and literally, that was all right as long as they didn't touch the ark. And then they set it on that new cart. And it says the oxen stumbled and says Uzzah reached out like as though he could help God. Like it would be God could just, But Uzzah thought he had to help God out. But now watch this. We got too many things on these new carts. Okay, but now watch this. Chapter 13, Gene. Oh, and I'm glad you've got a church like you've got. God just loves old sinners that's just messed up. You know what's wrong with a lot of Baptists? They've forgotten what garbage heap God's got them out of. That would help all of us if we just take a real good look at how that God just one day in your life, just like Donnie said a moment ago, God got him under conviction. Boy, aren't you glad he clears all the blame? Last week before our last, I was in a revival meeting in my hometown. And they came, Samuel was with me. And everybody came talking about my life 55 years ago. After this, Donnie. But that's all I heard 55 years ago. Nobody's talked about it's just back then. One woman, she said, "You're the meanest kid I ever seen in my life." I didn't say nothing. I wanted to. But he clears the blame. Notice in your Bible, I want you to show me. It's never brought up about them touching the ark. Show me. If you can show it to me, show it to me. It's never brought up about the funeral. Now watch this. Watch this. When Uzzah reached out and touched the ark, right? God killed him graveyard dead. Brother Gene, what do you think the other men done? David got mad. Okay, how did they get the ark down to Obed-Edom? Well, I'm putting thoughts in y'all's brain, ain't I? All right, God just killed Uzzah. So now how are they going to get the cart? The ark is on a new cart. Now they're going to take it down to Obed-Edom. It's going to stay there 3 months. How did they get it down there? Did they leave it on the cart? Did they pick it up and put it on their shoulders? I'm inclined to believe the latter. I believe they put it on their shoulders, took it down to the house of Obed-Edom. But these three other men, they just killed Uzzah, right? Is anybody here? They just killed Uzzah. Somebody had to take his place. Now, watch this. Do y'all believe they felt a little guilty? Well, I wish we hadn't put that ark on that new cart. I wish Uzzah hadn't got killed. Y'all don't think. I believe with all my heart they're thinking, well, I don't want to touch that ark. And if I touch that ark, God killed Uzzah. I ain't touching that ark. I believe fear gripped their heart. Guilt filled their heart. But look in chapter 15, and it says they brought it up with joy. Then it says with shouting. Did y'all see it? And they had to be the same ones that carried it down before. Now they're carrying it to where? Well, let me show it to you. Let me show you. Ready? Look how he clears the blame. Thank God. Look at them. Somewhere you got to see this. It says, and God helped the Levites. Think about all the times that God's helped you in the course of your life. Think about how the time that God's brought conviction upon you. Thank God. Now, let me show you now, hurriedly. Look in your Bible. And David and the elders and the captains over Israel bring up the ark and come to the house of the Lord of Ebal. Now, with joy, that's in verse 25. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen. But now watch this. Thus all of Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting. All right. I believe it was like a procession, but they're shouting. They're having the time of their lives. Chapter 13, God's killed a man. And I believe these other men probably felt responsible. I wish we'd have never got involved with that. I can't. Hey, Brother Bob, can you sing? How many of y'all know that song, "There's an Unseen Hand"? Do you, Brother Bob, sing it?
In hand above me,
and not. Oh, listen to this.
Through a field of woe,
and still, yeah, glory. I'm trusting to the unseen hand. Still got it. Did I? this weary land. Hey, there's an unseen hand. Some sweet day. See, y'all, if I'd have had Sharon, we'd have run just in. Think about how that the Lord's looked after you and took care of you and helped you. Now, let me show you. Are you ready? Let me quit. All right, if the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if God helped them Levites, can he not help us in 2017? Brother Bradley, cannot God help us? All right, if that unseen hand took care of them, he can certainly take care of us. I tell people, boy, I may wind up in the intensive care, but not without the knowledge of God. Ain't that a blessing? Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us and, Lord, for helping us. Lord, bless these dear men of God. Help them, I pray, in their places of service. Thank you for clearing the blame. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Little Lawrence.